You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Morning, everyone. We're in this two-week series entitled Beyond. And the whole idea of Beyond, like we already said here a while ago, is that whatever we do today is not just for today. Everything that you and I are either working hard for or experiencing, every decision is not just for you and for me. It has eternal and generational ramifications. It has an effect on someone either beside you or behind you. It affects other people in one way or another. Who among your parents here today? If you're a parent here, your decisions today affect your children. Whatever you do, whether small or big, it will have generational effects. It has generational ramifications. And like they said, the series Beyond is really talking about the next generation. And again, this is a series that basically zooms in on that. This week and next week, we will talk about you who are students, you who are in the campuses, you who are next in line. Your decisions today will also affect what you will look like 10 years from now. In other words, we're going to zoom in to this right now because it's rather urgent and important at the same time. If you have your Bibles with you, let's go to Hebrews 11, verses 20 and 21. I'm reading from the ESV. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. I'd like to say today that the next generation, every time that is mentioned, there's a certain stigma that comes with it. What am I talking about? Mukhang you've heard someone say yung generation ngayon, iba na talaga. And sometimes, it's not just iba as in better. Sometimes, there's a certain stigma of they're not like us. But for us, at least, us who are a little ahead of you, we hear that a lot. Yung generation ngayon, iba na talaga. Puro na lang gadgets. You hear that a lot. It seems like the generation today is very good at certain things, but they're not good at what we were good at before. And many times when we say these things, even as older men and women, it might not seem like it, but it does have a certain effect in the minds of our students. What were they like? Why are we supposed to be like them? The idea of the next generation too is kind of like an oxymoron. Next generation, but as Pastor Jun Escusar would say it, the more we say the next generation, the more we miss out on the next generation because they're supposed to be the now. The more we say the next generation, the more it doesn't make sense because we're supposed to invest in them right now, not in the next generation. So in other words, there's that certain, we don't know what to do with the next generation. Apart from the Word of God, apart from a walk that is aligned with the will of God, there's really not much understanding of the next generation. In our generation, we did not have these gadgets. I have an 8-year-old daughter who can figure out Siri. When she's alone, she has conversations with Siri. Can you sing for me? She does that on her own. No one had to teach her. She just figured it out. And so sometimes, because you're so good at the new stuff, we can't understand you anymore. In our time, it was more patintero. We had beepers. Some of you don't even know what that is. We had beepers. We had huge cell phones. It was called an extension phone. We used to have party lines. Once you pick up the landline, there's two people talking already. And you have to say, excuse me, can I use the phone? Some of you can't even relate to that anymore, but it's true. I'm not lying to you here. We used to have those stuff. Now you can't relate to us. Some of us even say the next generation, no, party lang ng party. Next generation now, their songs don't make sense. Some of us even say back when songs had real lyrics. And so you say the generation today, puro na lang, puro na lang ganun. So we don't have lyrics in our songs anymore. It's more about the beat. But in reality, the Word of God is very clear as regards the next generation. We are supposed to bless the next generation. As older men, older women, our words matter. It has an effect on the next generation. The book of James would say, the same tongue that we use to bless is the same tongue that we can use to curse. And whatever we say, becomes reality. There is power in the tongue. There is so much power in words. And so I'd like to share two principles as regards the next generation in terms of blessing them. First of all, we bless them despite of. Despite of what? Despite of the unseen. Verse 20 says, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. These two words, by faith, basically sets the tone for the whole book. By faith. Hebrews 11 is what they call the chapter of faith. The hall of faith, they would say. Because it's all by faith, by faith, by faith. And verse 20, it says, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. A little bit of context, Isaac at this time wasn't really young anymore. He was at the point where he was already dying. He lost sight already. He was towards the rear end of his life. He invoked future blessings upon Jacob and Esau. And so I'd like to clarify faith. Verse 1 of Hebrews 11 in the NLT says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. And so you and I have to realize when Isaac invoked a blessing upon Jacob and Esau, there was not a promise of what Jacob and Esau will be like. When our children were born, once they come out, you don't readily say, oh, thank God, she's gonna be a doctor. Among you were born with a stethoscope. Come on now. None of us were born holding memorandums of agreement, and so therefore lawyer. No one is born like that. When all of us are born, we are all naked. And so you realize, you don't know what this baby is going to be like. You have no idea what he's gonna do, what he's gonna be good at. My mom's half Chinese. Me and my brother, he sent us to a Chinese Christian school. You know why? My mom had a great plan for me. She wanted me to be a teller someday. Because she was a teller for a PCI bank. Now, she would say, if you're a teller who knows how to speak Chinese fluently, you attract a lot of Chinese investors. And so it's good for the bank. And so I really became a teller. A teller of good news. My wife, the dream for her was to be a nurse. And so she took up nursing, taught in a university as a clinical instructor. Her parents are in the States, citizens, and so it would be easy for her to be there. She's a nurse of souls now. We do this together. All of us, we don't have any idea at all about what our children will be like. God's plans are way better than how we box him many times. You're taking up school now, or maybe you're sending your children to school now, and you have a dream for them. You're going to be an operations manager for a call center. When they graduate, who knows what the world will look like? Everything will be flying now. I'll be preaching from Silai, but I'll be preaching here. Teleport, right? I preach in the 10 here, then I preach in the 11 there. Who knows what the world will look like 10 years from now? I don't know what cars will look like then. But you see, faith sets the tone for all of this, because faith is only as reliable and trustworthy as its object. When Isaac put his faith in God, then he basically entrusted his children to God. He put his faith on an unshakable king, someone who cannot be changed, someone who cannot be altered, someone who's not intimidated by economy or what the finance looks like, someone who isn't reliant on an Excel file and trends. He's not. He plans and he wills and it comes to pass. And so Isaac basically by faith entrusted his children to God. Very, very important for us parents to understand. And so you realize that the motive behind blessing the next generation isn't so much the potential that you see now. It's not. Because sometimes when you try to look for potential, you just don't see anything. Pastor Jojo Henson would always tell me, Jason, you know what? I'm so fond of NVPGs. He's talking about leadership development. NVPGs. Pastor Joe, what do you mean NVPG? No visible potential for greatness. Yung talagang wala. When you look at them, oh man, you just don't believe there's a future. But you realize God takes all of that. Isn't the potential, but the destiny that God has for them. You see, potential is very blinding. Because it's in the natural. But once you understand that God has a destiny for your children, for the next generation, all of this will start to make sense. Blessing the next generation will now start to make sense. Not just despite of the unseen, it's also despite of the imperfections. Young people, whom only know you make crazy decisions many times. One time, you just come home and say, Dad, I basically withdrew my subjects. Why? I don't like the teacher. So I'm taking it in another school. So you cross-enroll, only to find out that it's the same teacher. Woo! Praise God! We make crazy decisions. What did verse 20 say? He invoked future blessings on who? Jacob and Esau. Now, a casual reader of the Bible will basically just breeze through this. Okay, he invoked future blessings, Jacob and Esau. But who are Jacob and Esau? You have to realize, Genesis 27 will tell this story. Esau was basically coming from a trip. He was the firstborn. He was just so tired and hungry. He was down and he was troubled and he needed a helping hand. And he wasn't okay. And so he came home hungry, and he saw his chef brother, Jacob. He said, you know what? I would exchange my birthright right now for kansi, for bulalo, porridge, whatever it is, anything with soup. I will exchange it right now. To understand birthright is basically the right to take over all your father's property at the time of death. He exchanged that for soup. And so Jacob, upon hearing that, oh sure, give me thyme, nor cream of mushroom. He started to prepare this. And so there was a great exchange between birthright and soup. This was a crazy decision. Not only was it crazy enough that Esau gave his birthright, Jacob accepted it. Who among you know he's not a good brother at all? He was just taking advantage here. It would be very easy to serve your brother, is it not? But he exchanged it for a birthright. Not only that, when their father now was blind and unable to really discern anything, rather helpless, he was there, he was just sitting, and it was time to give a blessing. Rebecca, their mom, heard, it's time to give the blessing. And so she called Jacob, hello? You should come and let's take advantage of this situation. Esau, the elder brother, is hairy. And so Jacob had to pretend like he was Esau. And so they put hair. He had to smell like him. He had to feel like him, his voice. Imagine how many rehearsals that took. You start to rehearse. I'm going to daddy now.
Dad, it's me. Who's that? Esau.
He tried to rehearse all this just to deceive Isaac, who was supposed to give the blessing. They're imperfect children. But Isaac blessed them by faith. He gave a blessing. Despite of. You see, the word bless in the King James Version is the word eulogeo in the Greek. Know what that means? To prosper. Why is that key? You see, many times we try to release a blessing so that someday our children will prosper. We have to realize that the blessing itself is the prosperity. The release of the blessing itself is the prosperity. We think of it as future blessing when we think of it as material blessing. But you see, this wasn't just material. It was spiritual. Hebrews 11:16 talks about blessing in the heavenly places. So this wasn't just immaterial blessing. This wasn't just setting them up to succeed in their endeavors someday. It was to do something in them today. It's both important and urgent to release spiritual blessings to our children, for these are the blessings that no one can take away. Spiritual blessings, once they're there, they are there. It's in your children. When you speak forth a blessing, my daughter is 8. We're doing homeschool, but when she was in regular school, she won't get off the car until I'm able to pray for her. She just won't. Dad, you didn't pray for me. You have to pray for me. And it's always the same prayer. Lord, allow my daughter to lead today. She was 6 that time. Allow my daughter to lead today. Pray, Lord, that she becomes a blessing to her teachers. It's really good. There's a certain confidence that comes with it. Your children, once they hear that, they just don't know what it does to them, but somehow it does something to them. there's a blessing there. There's a big covering that happens. Pastor, I work so hard because I want to bless my children with material stuff. Sometimes the blessings we give our children are in form of material stuff. These stuff will waste away. I counseled a seafarer, an overseas worker, someone who's a nurse on board a cruise ship. And he was talking to me, Pastor, no, I work hard and I provide for my family. My kids love me. They don't get into trouble. And so I've maintained this job for about 7-8 years now. I said, that's great. When I started to talk to him, I realized he missed out his children's birthdays, Christmases. He missed all those. And I started to ask him, do you realize your children will never be 10 years old again? Once you miss it, you miss it. That's not something you return. There's no rewind button for that. No matter how technology fast tracks, you can't bring back your child's 10th birthday. You can't. Once you miss it, you miss it. And it started to put a lot of sense into him. You know where he is now? He's still working abroad. Second principle is not just despite of, it's also because of. We speak blessing and invoke blessing towards the next generation because of. Because of what? The command of God. It is a command of God. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when dying, same as Isaac, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. And so, if you read throughout the whole chapter of Hebrews 11, you will realize that there's a certain repetition that's going on. Keeps repeating. Basic rule of theology, if it's something repeated right along the same chapter or the same verse, there's a lot of emphasis on that. It becomes something imperative. I realize if it's important enough for the Bible to command it, then it's important enough for us to obey it. Blessing the next generation, it is important. Esau understood that Jacob took over the blessing. He was able to deceive his father. He understood the consequences, and so he had to run and ask his father, don't you have any other blessing for me? It was huge. Jewish culture, it's important. Would say every Friday night, the family would come together to start to prepare for the Sabbath. And the father, the head of the family, would start to speak a blessing to all his children in the table during the meal. That's powerful. So much power in that. It's not just important because it is the command of God. It's also important because of the plan of the enemy. Who among you know we have an enemy who's out to steal, kill, and destroy? Last week of our series on Make Room, we said that we are called to be witnesses wherever we go. There's only one way to discredit a witness. Either you make sure that his testimony fails or you silence him by fear. If you're a witness in a witness stand, the prosecution attorney will basically just look at you and try to discredit your testimony altogether. He's not credible. He used to be this, he used to be that. He's going to try to lambast your character. He's going to try to point out all the inconsistencies that you have with your life. Not only that, he will try to silence you into not testifying anymore. Sige, if you keep testifying, I will do this, I will do that, this will happen. That happens a lot. And so now you realize the enemy has the same ploy. He will try to silence you by fear. So much fear that you can't preach the gospel anymore. You can't tell your family where you go to church anymore. Your parents are not here, and so, sa Dumaguete, what church do you go to? Ah. Anthony. What church? Anthony. Silence because of the intimidation. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's a roaring lion when God is a lion of Judah. He will also try to disguise himself as someone who is like God, but he will never be God. And so he tries to steal your destiny, my friend. Many times, parents, when we miss out to bless our children, what happens? They fall into bad company. I have a student in Silay, and he would be in church every day. I mean, in the building. every day. So I go to the office every day, and I would see him every day. Eventually, I had to start talking to him. What's going on? He said, Pastor, every night when I come home, my dad basically would get me out of bed late night. He would be drunk. He had two sisters. And he will basically start to hit, kick, abuse all of us out of his drunkenness. He will get an axe. This is true to life. He will get an axe and start to try and hit us with it, with no regard whatsoever for us. And my mom would even justify him. He was applying for a scholarship for Real Life, and I was helping him out. You know, speak destiny to students, right? You're going to graduate. You're going to have a really good job. You're going to start your own business. And he was so excited. But when he got home, his father would tell him, mag-aaral ka. You will be like me. You'll be jobless. You'll be hopeless. You're good for nothing. And these words, every night, I started to ask him, what do you do? Because it happens at 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning. What would you do? He would say, well, there's no one in church at 1 in the morning, so I stay by the street in front of the entrance of the church. He would be there, and the police station is right beside Victory Silan. I would tell him, you go to the police station and report. And he said, no, Pastor, you don't understand. What do you mean? The only enjoyable time that I have, my memories of joy, are in church. And every time my dad abuses me, I run to church, literally. Even if there's no one there, just because I'm near the building, I feel fine. I feel like God is taking care of me. My friends, I hope it doesn't have to be that way where our children have to run to church. I hope your children can run to you as parents. I hope we never delegate our parenting to the church. We try to put up as many campus missionaries. We have a really good kids' church facility. But this is not where the buck stops. It's you, Dad. It's you, Mom. It's at home. This is a family thing. This is not a church thing. You see, the enemy will always have a plan. But when we speak blessing, we impose the will of God over the enemy's plans. We start to say, you're not a failure. You're already a success. God is proud of you. Some of you just need to hear that. A lot of you have been trying to earn it because you feel like you're good for nothing because you never heard your dad say good job. Never heard it at all. I'd like to tell you today, God is proud of you. The little toil, the little labor that you do, God is proud of you. The sacrifices that you have, God is already proud of you. You don't have to earn it. Not just because of the command of God and the plan of the enemy. It's also very important because of what's at stake. There's something big at stake. Who's to say that it's not out of this church that someday a mayor will rise up? Who's to say that the next counselors, the people who will occupy our executive, legislative, judiciary branches will not be from Victory Dumaguete? Who's to say that? Some of you even hold SK positions already. It's important. That's valuable. Who's to say that our leaders, that the people in our church, or maybe someone in your home today, who's to say that your kids won't be senators someday? Who's to say? What's our dream for them? Are we dreaming of making them tellers too? There's nothing wrong with that. But when we try to impose our own natural plans over God's destiny for them, that's when we miss out totally. I remember Pastor Jure Mora just telling of how he would just basically tell his children, discover what God and who God truly wants you to be. When you hear God tell you what He wants you to be, tell me, because I will give everything so that you can fulfill that destiny and purpose for God. Students, a lot of you have given up on the voice of God. You've heard it. God has put it in your heart. Yet at the same time, you've been saying, but my parents don't support me, so I'll let it go. Students, never give up the plans of God in your life. I'll tell another story. I have a student in church. She was also here doing presbytery. She did presbytery last Friday. She had to go back home because she had a thesis to finish. Deadlines on Monday. But she really comes from a poor family. Can't afford to go to school. And so she would say, Pastor, what school do I go to? Because real life can only afford a certain budget. So she says, but God told me I'm gonna go to LaSalle and take up business administration and operations management. And I said, that doesn't make sense because you can't afford that. How will you go to school? She's basically looking at me saying, yeah, I think so. So she goes home. That was Sunday. We met Tuesday. Told me, Pastor, I enrolled in LaSalle. Among you know, that looks like a crazy decision. She was in second year college then. I was just waiting for another time where she would say, Pastor, I need help financially. Like I said, she's graduating in March. No debt. Miracles. Every time the tuition has to be paid, miracles. She can even pay for herself coming here, paying her own hotel. Miracles. It was hard. She had to play in the rondalla of Silay because they're given budget. And she would keep it, not eat, so that she can go to presbytery in Victory Dumaguete. Look up here for a while, students. I mean this the right way. When you hear the voice of God, no other voice matters. Not even your pastor. We make mistakes. We make mistakes. When you're sure it's God who told you, fulfill that destiny in God. Who's to say that the next pastors of Victory will not come from this crowd right now? Who's to say that the next campus missionaries are not here sitting already? Hearing this now, tears flowing down because you know it's you I'm talking about. Who's to say that your children are not called? Because they are. But sometimes, as parents, it's our own plans. No, I want my children to be lawyers and doctors. But what if God has called them to be very bold preachers of the gospel in Siliman? What if, my friend? What if? They don't have to earn it. We just have to be proud of them. Jesus, in his time of baptism, was there. In Matthew 3:17, says, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Jesus has not done anything yet related to ministry. No acts of ministry at all. Yet God, the Father, already said, I am already pleased with Him. Look up here for a while. You, my friend, don't have to earn it. God is already pleased with you. He loves you. He is proud of you. He wants to take care of you. He's been embracing you the whole time. Don't feel like you have to earn it. Don't feel like you have to perform. Because you don't. I feel like I also have to speak in behalf of the fathers and the parents. I like verses 20 and 21 because it's a certain succession. Isaac to Jacob, Jacob now to his grandchildren. You need to understand, sometimes as parents, we don't really readily bless you right away because we've never experienced that too from our own fathers. We're a Filipino people and the culture that we have isn't so much vocal, is it? We don't readily say, I love you. We don't readily hug one another. In our dinner tables, we're rather silent, right? Sure, we live together, but there's really no culture of God bless you today. You're going to change the campus and change the world. There's not much of that. And as parents, if you're here now, you feel like you just don't like your father, I'd like to say sorry in behalf of all the parents. We're sorry if we missed out. We're sorry if there were words that we were supposed to say. Or maybe there were words that your parents said to you and it just stung you even until now. I'd like to say we're sorry. And I really pray that you find it in your heart to forgive your parents. To forgive us for the many shortcomings that we have. Dami. We're more. Tigas ulo mo kasi. I pray. Forgive us for our mistakes.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.